So this is Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and this book was written by Srila Prabhupada before he wrote the Bhagavatam. His summary study of the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is in comparison to the Lord's body, of which the entire 12 cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam relate to various parts of the Lord's body. For instance, the first canto, first two cantos, are the lotus feet of the Lord. And in correspondence, the 10th canto is the smiling face of the Lord. And simply by hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, one can become free from all misgivings, can be rise above the modes of material nature. Yaswanubhavam akila shuti saramekam adhyatma deepam atitir shitam tamundam samsarinam karuna yaha purana guhyam tam vyasa sunam upayami gurun muninam. Originally, this was spoken by Shukadev Goswami for the purpose of helping those who wanted to cross over the dense darkness of the age of Kali to rise above the modes of material nature. Atitir shitam means by hearing the message of Srimad Bhagavatam, the very vibration itself, one could be cleared from the modes of material nature, which oppress the soul. Because although the living entity is the same as the Lord in quality, in quantity, it's a minute particle, it's very small and tiny. Mamayivamsho jivaloke. The living entity is described as an anksha, as a tiny parcel of the Lord. And therefore, there's a tendency for that part and parcel fragment of the Lord, although superior consciousness, to fall under the control of the lower modes of material nature. And by hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, the very vibration, tato jayamudirai, it can deliver one from that nescience and situate one not just in a neutral transcendental position, which is described as Brahma-bhuta, Brahma-bhuta prasanatma nasochatina kankshati samak sarveshu bhuteshu madbhaktim labate param. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna describes how one rises above the modes of material nature and comes to the level of Brahma, Brahman, Brahma-bhuta, where there's no lamentation or hankering as there is when one's attached to the lower modes like rajas, the mode of passion. What is the characteristic of the mode of passion? Yes, Ramaswamy.
Always trying hard to get something.
Yes, it's characterized by always looking hard to get something. Unlimited hankerings and desires. It's called trishna, or a thirst for material acquisition. And how much material acquisition is enough when you're in the mode of passion? Unlimited? There was a lyric to a song, and I don't know who wrote it, but it said, too much is not enough. And in the mode of ignorance? Yes. Sleep? Yeah.
Laziness and sleepiness.
Sleepiness, laziness. It's suffering from beginning to end. It keeps one down in darkness of ignorance. And in the mode of goodness, there's an opportunity to actually see beyond the facade of the material world, which Queen Kunti describes, Maya Javani Kachanam Ajnad Hoksa Jamavyam Nalakshase Muradrisha Nato Natya Darodyata. She calls Krishna the great dancer, the great actor. And he's covered over by the illusory potency, and in the case of his personal pastimes, by the internal potency, Yoga Maya. So one can't see him. And for the materialistic people, naham prakasya sarvasya yogamaya samavrita mudo yam nabijananti lokamama jamavyayam. The people of the world are covered by this potency of the Lord, maya, and they can't see. Just like a cloud covers our vision of the sun. The sun's always shining, but sometimes we can't see it. Like today, it appears that the sun's not shining. Krishna's always there, and by the process of devotional service, Shukadev Goswami says, Kechit kevalaya bhaktya vasudeva parayana agham tunvanti karsneya ihara nihara iva bhaskara. He says that maya is like a fog, and pedestrians become stopped and the traffic becomes snarled when there's fog like that. But by the process of devotional service, he said, a rare person, Kechit, not everyone, but a rare person, some people, kechit kevalaya bhaktya, through kevala bhakti, which is exclusive bhakti, narayana parayana, they become exclusively devoted to the Lord Narayan, who's transcendental above the three modes of material nature. Agham dun vandi kajsneya, nihara iva bhaskara. By that bhakti, it's like a bright sun, and it burns off the fog of material illusion, and the lower modes of material nature dissipate. And how is this possible? It's all by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, the great sage Shukadeva Goswami, even though he was liberated, the question came from Shonaka Rishi, the head of the sages at Naimasaranya. They had gathered there for 100-year sacrifice. And the topic was how to do good for the people in general in the age of Kali Yuga. What will we do in order to save them from the darkness of ignorance in the age of Kali Yuga? And they started hearing about Shukadeva Goswami and how he was a liberated soul. And Shonaka Rishi wanted to know, how is it that although he was already liberated, when was he liberated, Shukadeva Goswami? Before he was born, when he was in the womb. In fact, he didn't want to come out of the womb. Because somebody in a liberated situation, like, for instance, Prahlad Maharaj, he's afraid of the material nature. He told Lord Nrsimhadev, I'm not afraid of your ferocious form, like all the demigods and everyone else, but I am afraid of the material nature. Prabhupada says it's just like when there's a fire. There was a fire in Malibu Canyon a few years ago. They have them regularly there because it's a very dry place. And there's all kinds of tinder-like trees that can go up in smoke and all kinds of houses there. And the fire, some places it would jump from one side of the canyon to the other. And it would inexplicably, somebody's house would catch on fire because the fire would jump across from one tree to the next, from one house to the next. Some houses were saved, some houses were burned to the ground. And just like that, the mind in the material world, under the control of the material nature, it can jump from one place to another, and it does. And at the time of death, wherever the mind jumps, yang yang vapi smaran bhavam tajat yante kalevaram tam tam evaiti konteya sadatad bhava bhavita. That's where it takes you, Krishna says. Wherever, whatever the mind concentrates at the time of death, wherever that flame jumps to, therefore you'll be carried to that in your next life. So it's a very precarious situation, very dangerous. Shukadeva Goswami was liberated even within the womb of his mother, didn't want to come out because he was afraid of material nature. Krishna had to personally come and tell him, you can come out. I guarantee you won't become bewildered by the modes of material nature. But what happened when he came out of the womb of his mother? He took off running. His father ran after him. Who was his father? Vyasadeva. And he cried out after him, oh, my son! You haven't undergone any purificatory rites. You haven't stayed with the family. And he just left. He went away. He went to the forest. And he was completely detached from all worldly life. But his father had a plan to bring him back. And that plan was he sent out different kinds of workers, like I've heard through the oral tradition. It's that the woodcutter would go out into the forest to cut wood. So he didn't even know what the verses were, but he was given verses by Vyasadeva to recite them while he was working in the forest. And he was reciting these Bhagavatam verses, and Shukadeva Goswami, in his completely liberated state, he heard them, and his mind became attracted. How does a liberated person, Shonaka Rishi wanted to know, become attracted to this sound vibration? Itam bhuta gunohari, he said, because of its quality. It's got a quality which is different from the quality of sound vibration of anything else in this world. Itam bhuta gunohari, because of its quality. It's transcendental. It's coming from the spiritual world. So one who hears the vibration of the Srimad Bhagavatam is actually hearing Krishna personally. It is the incarnation of Krishna directly. Idam Bhagavatam nama Puranam Brahma Samhitam Uttama Shloka Charitam Chakara Bhagavan Rishi Nikshayakshaya Lokasya Tamnam Swastayanam Mahat. It's described as all perfect, all blissful. It's the incarnation of the Lord Himself in sound. So Prabhupada wanted to make sure that we had this 10th canto because he didn't know how long he had. Ramaswami, can you let them know that it's a little loud back there? probably already know by now. That he wanted to make sure that we had the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam because he didn't know how long he had to translate the entire Srimad Bhagavatam and make it available. So that's why we have this Krishna book. So it's a good idea to read a little bit of Krishna book every day. If you read Krishna book just before you go to bed at night, before you go to sleep, then you can dream about Krishna. And you can hear it also. Preface. Nivritatarsha rupagiya marat bhavaushara chotra manobi ramat ka utama shloka gunanu vadat puman virajeta vina pashugnat. From the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto. This is a verse that Prabhupada put at the very beginning of the preface. In these Western countries, when somebody sees the cover of a book like Krishna, he immediately asks, who is Krishna? Who's the girl with Krishna? Etc. The immediate answer is that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How is that? Because he conforms in exact detail to descriptions of the Supreme Being, the Godhead. In other words, Krishna is the Godhead because he is all-attractive. Outside the principle of all attraction, there is no meaning to the word Godhead. How is it that one can be all-attractive? First of all, if one is very wealthy, he has great riches, he becomes attractive to the people in general. Similarly, if someone is very powerful, he also becomes attractive. And if someone is very famous, he also becomes attractive. And if someone is very beautiful or wise or unattached to all kinds of possessions, he also becomes attractive. So from practical experience, we can observe that one is attractive due to 1, wealth, 2, power, 3, fame, 4, beauty, 5, wisdom, and 6, renunciation. One who is in possession of all 6 of these opulences at the same time, who possesses them to an unlimited degree, is understood to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. These opulences of the Godhead are delineated by Parashara Muni, a great Vedic authority. So do you find that to be true, those opulences? Are you attracted to people if they're rich? Yes? So if somebody, a rich person, walked in the room today, any rich people in here? So I'd like to talk to you afterwards. If a rich person walked in the room just now, name a rich person, Narayana Dev Prabhu. Bill Gates, of course, who else would we name? So Bill Gates walked in the room and sat down, and devotees would be noticing. Is that Bill Gates back there? Why is he attractive? Why would we even notice that he came in the room? Because he's wealthy. And somebody beautiful came in the room. Miss Universe. We'd be surprised if she came in the room, for sure. Maybe we'd look. And somebody who's strong came in the room. You notice, these are natural things. They're naturally there as opulences. So as mentioned here, Krishna has all of these opulences, but unlimitedly. This is the meaning of the Godhead. This is the meaning of Krishna. He's the attractor. So he attracts everyone's attention. And if we hear about Krishna and we hear about his opulences, then our mind will become attracted. All our senses will become attracted. It's a natural thing. Nitya siddha Krishna prema sadya kabunoi shravanadi shudachite karu or utoi. It's a natural and eternal fact that we have already that attraction for Krishna within our heart. Now we've become distracted by the external energy. And because of it, we're looking at Krishna's external feature. It's all his energy, right? All of what we see in the material world is also Krishna, but it's his external feature, Bahiranga Shakti. But by concentrating on the external feature of Krishna, we become disjointed and we forget about the actual source of that energy. Bhayam dvitiya abhinibeshita syad. the Bhagavatam says, when we forget about Krishna and we see only his external energy, then we become full of fear. And we think, I'm this material body, and that I'm going to die, and that I have to take care of this material body. But if we turn our attention back towards Krishna and concentrate on the source of all that energy, then Krishna says, Aham sarvasya pravavo matak sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samanvita. Someone understands that I am the source of everything. Everything emanates from me, including this external energy. They become devoted to me, and they concentrate all their energy upon me. So the best way to develop this attraction, to redirect our attention back to Krishna, where we say, where attention goes, energy flows. And someone amended that the other day and said, where attention goes, our Shraddha flows. Our faith goes in such a way of when we direct our attention somewhere. Where our Shraddha goes, our attention goes. Where our faith goes. So, Shravanadi Shuddhichitta means just by hearing about Krishna, then naturally the heart will become cleansed and that natural attraction, that natural love for Krishna will reawaken and will pull us towards Krishna in such a way that Queen Kunti describes in her prayers to Krishna that it's like the Ganges that is coming down from the mountains and it can't be stopped by any human force. It goes on towards the sea, no matter if you dam it up, if it goes underground, wherever, but it'll still be pulling towards the sea constantly. So similarly, she prays that let my attention be drawn to you. Twayame ananya vishaya madu madu pate sakrit ratim utvahata dada gangi vaugam udanviti. Just as when the Ganges flows and it's an inextricable force going towards the ocean, let my attention be drawn to you in the same way. So we can become attracted to Krishna in the same way. The Goswami says, Yuvatinam yata yuni, yunam cha yuvatau yata, mano biramate tadvan, mano me ramatam twayi. Rupa Goswami. He said, just as young boys are attracted to young girls, and young girls are attracted to young boys without having to take a class on it. You'd have to give them a certification class and say, hey, there's a girl, you should be attracted. Young boys are naturally attracted to young girls, and vice versa. It just goes on. In fact, if you try to stop them, it makes it worse, practically. And we've seen this. So, similarly, Rupa Goswami says, let my devotion come to this point where I'm just naturally attracted to here. And this is actually the sign of spiritual health. When one comes to this point of being naturally attracted to hearing the pastimes of Krishna, then we can tell that we're becoming spiritually healthy. It's a progressive path in devotional service, and it starts by hearing. We have seen many rich persons, many powerful persons, many famous persons, many beautiful persons, many learned and scholarly persons, and persons in the renounced order of life unattached to material possessions. But we have never seen any one person who is unlimitedly and simultaneously wealthy, powerful, famous, beautiful, wise, and unattached, like Krishna in the history of humanity. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is an historical person who appeared on this earth 5,000 years ago. He stayed on this earth for 125 years and played exactly like a human being. But his activities were unparalleled. From the very moment of his appearance to the moment of his disappearance, every one of his activities is unparalleled in the history of the world. Everyone. And therefore, anyone who knows what we mean by Godhead will accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. No one is equal to the Godhead, and no one is greater than him. That is the import of the famous saying, God is great. There are various classes of men in the world who speak of God in different ways. But according to the Vedic literatures and according to the great acharyas, the authorized persons versed in the knowledge of God in all ages, like Acharya Shankar, Ramanuja, Madhva, Vishnu Swami, Lord Chaitanya, and all their followers by disciplic succession, all unanimously agree that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As far as we, the followers of Vedic civilization, are concerned, we accept the Vedic history of the whole universe, which consists of different planetary systems called swargalokas, or the higher planetary system, Martyalokas, or the intermediate planetary system, and Patalalokas, or the lower planetary system. The modern historians of this earth cannot supply historical evidences of events that occurred before 5,000 years ago, and the anthropologists say that 40,000 years ago, Homo sapiens had not appeared on this planet because evolution had not reached that point. But the Vedic histories, the Puranas and Mahabharata, relate human histories which extend millions and billions of years into the past. For example, from these literatures, we are given the histories of Krishna's appearances and disappearances millions and billions of years ago. In the fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells Arjuna that both he and Arjuna had had many births before, and that he, Krishna, could remember all of them, and that Arjuna could not. This illustrates the difference between the knowledge of Krishna and that of Arjuna. Krishna might have been a very great warrior, a well-cultured member of the Kuru dynasty, but after all, he was an ordinary human being, whereas Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the possessor of unlimited knowledge. Because he possesses unlimited knowledge, Krishna has a memory that is boundless. Krishna's knowledge is so perfect that he remembers all the incidences of his appearances some millions and billions of years in the past. But Arjuna's memory and knowledge are limited by time and space, for he is an ordinary human being. In the fourth chapter, Krishna states that he can remember instructing the lessons of Bhagavad Gita some millions of years ago to the sun god Vivaswan. Nowadays, it's the fashion of the atheistic class of men to try to become God by following some mystic process. Generally, the atheists claim to be God by dint of their imagination or their meditational prowess. Krishna is not that kind of God. He does not become God by manufacturing some mystic process of meditation, nor does he become God by undergoing the severe austerities of the mystic yogic exercises. Properly speaking, he never becomes God because he is the Godhead in all circumstances. So that's from the preface of the Krishna book.